Revelation chapter 19, the Bible says from verse number 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, what were they saying? Hallelujah. For the Lord omnipotent reigns. And let's read on. The Bible now says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And then let's read the next verse. The Bible now says, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Listen, one of the righteous acts that you and I can do tonight is to do what is right before the sight of God. And what is that? From the depth of our heart, to show love to those who this season especially don't have the privilege of having the basic things of life, and especially in a war-torn country like Ukraine. So look at that. The bride of Christ is clothed with a fine linen. The fine linen is actually described as one of the righteous acts. You see, one thing we want to emphasize tonight, like I said, part two, are you ready to be his bride? Is to, first of all, have you noticed that there is no marriage, the ceremony, the wedding ceremony that will ever take place if the bride is not clothed? The bride is not ready. You know, you see wedding ceremonies, and the groom is there, usually waiting for the bride. And the bride will be adorned in wedding dress and then brought in, and then the ceremony takes place. No marriage, no wedding ceremony commences unless the bride is ready. Now, one of the nuggets we'll be sharing tonight, just two things quickly, is learning from the case study, I'll call it the case study of Queen Vashti and Esther. We will be looking at that. But before then, let's look at some nuggets about marriage itself. You see, the bride does not start preparing on the wedding day. It's not on the wedding day that the bride, let's talk about the outer garment now, because when you look at that Revelation chapter 19, because she was ready, because the bride was ready, she was now given those linen, the fine linen, bright and clean, clothed, because she was ready. Listen, there's something very important here. It's not the fine linen, the clean and the bright linen, that made the bride ready. The bride was ready before she was given the fine linen, the wedding gown. So it's not the wedding gown, let's use, you know, modern day parlance, that makes the bride ready. The bride is ready and then given the wedding gown. I remembered, you know, some years ago, I think recently my wife and I still spoke about it. You know, we knew someone who got very, very upset because they were planning to get married, and there were some certain things that were violated before the, you know, the whole thing. You know, the man had already gone, taking the woman without the father's consent, without the parents' consent. They went and did a rush, went to the registry, and, you know, before the law of the land, You go to the registry to consenting adults. You just need two witnesses, and that's it. You sign the dotted lines. You're married before the law. But then, marriage is beyond just going and signing a dotted line and having two witnesses. There are some principles of marriage. When you read the book of Genesis, the first marriage in the Bible, you know, last week we looked at the first bride in the Bible, which was Eve. So the first marriage, so to speak, we saw it in the book of Genesis and chapter 2. You will see that the Bible mentions there that a man leaves his father and mother and then joins his wife, cleaves to the wife, and then they become one. You see, there is the need for the consent, parental consent, parental blessing, the father and mother. It's an honor for father and the mother to give their blessing and then release their daughter for the groom. The groom does not go to take a bride without the blessing of the parents. You know, we also knew of someone like that. The parents said, no way, you will not marry. The father actually put the foot down and said that anybody in this family must not attend the wedding. The bride went ahead. The groom went ahead. They went, they did a wedding. They conducted the marriage without the parental blessing and parental, you know, consent. Went ahead and got married. Of course, people showed up for the wedding. The church showed up. Let me just say the church, they went to a church. They joined them together, you know, because I was telling my wife that if I was in such a church, pastor in such a church, I will not violate God's principles. If the father and mother refuse to attend the wedding, then we are violating God's principle. God said, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, that you may live long. Maybe I'm saying this and somebody's about to, let me use the word, I'm not sure if it's a strong word to use online, but let me just soften it down. You don't care. You don't, you know, give it whatever about what your parents think. You are still going ahead and you must marry. Listen, there is a reason why father and mother is in that equation in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. God knows why. And God knows why he said the first commandment with the promise is the honor you give your father and your mother. You didn't just drop down from the sky and Mr. Husbandman who wants to marry somebody's daughter and you don't care what the parents think. Listen, you are violating a godly principle because that daughter of somebody else did not jump down from the sky. God knew why he chose that man, even if you think he's erratic and irrational, and that woman's womb to be the one to produce that lovely, wonderful bride that you want to take away without parental consent. I just have to say this because when we preach Christ, we must also warn. We must also warn. So this is a note of warning. So, well, they went ahead and back to the story and decided they don't care. They got married. The father said nobody in the family must attend this wedding. Nobody in the family went. They're still married. I don't know who gave the bride out and all that. Listen, people, the marriage suffered two things. Number one, they went childless. The woman was barren. And then before you knew it, the man left her. They were both Christians. In quote, born again, tongue talking. As we speak today, that marriage is over. Listen. Getting ready, preparing for marriage must be done in a righteous way, in a godly way, and the bride getting herself ready. You don't, number one, it's not on your wedding day that you start getting ready. And number two, listen, some people only start getting ready for marriage after they have met, or when they have met somebody they want to marry. That's when they start getting ready. Listen, it's not like that. According to the scriptures and according to Bible history, a child, if it's a female, right from when they were born, they start getting prepared, getting prepped up for the man who will marry them. Oh, somebody saying, is the purpose of a woman just to go and end up with a man? No, the man also. That is the biblical way. You raise up children right from when they are young, preparing them for their future. Part of the future is marriage someday. So they are trained, they are nurtured, they are taught how to behave, how to conduct themselves as brides. And then for the man, how to be a man, a husband, how to provide for their family. It's not when they leave school, they've messed around, and then they decide one day I want to settle down. No. Preparation is usually from birth. So listen, don't wait till you meet somebody you want to marry before you start getting ready or preparing for marriage. Start preparing, and now is never too late. Listen, when you look at the parables that Jesus gave, and there were the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. In the context of that, by the grace of God, next week we'll be looking in depth at that. And I'll be joined by a man of God who will break this down to us. I'll bring him on later. We will look in depth at that. When you look at it in that context of the 5 wise, 5 foolish, nobody knew when the bridegroom will come. Nobody knew. But what saved the 5 who were wise was their pre-prayer readiness. They were prepared. It wasn't when the groom showed up that they were going to now say, yes, I think we might need extra oil. We just ran out of oil. That is a message on its own, people. We'll look in depth at that next week. We'll do an intro today. But let's focus today on Queen Vashti and the replacement, who was her replacement, who was Queen Esther. And I'll just run through this tonight. Are you ready to be his bride? And let us see some things we can glean from someone who was already a bride, someone who was already the wife, but lost her place and was replaced by another person. So come with me, right, tonight. Come with us to the book of Esther. We'll start seeing some things you and I need to learn. If you are married already, you can still learn. If you have children you're raising, you can start teaching them. Listen, a queen-to-be is prepared from birth. A king-to-be is prepared from birth. Let's look at, you know, the United Kingdom where we are broadcasting from. Do you think Prince Charles, who is now the king, started preparing to be a king after his mom, Queen Elizabeth, passed away? Right from the day he was born, he was named a prince, the heir apparent to the throne, and being prepared. That is also the same context of the kingdom of God. We are prepared for that marriage supper of the Lamb right from when we got saved. And if you are not saved tonight, you can confess your sins, receive Jesus, and he will make you a king and a priest through his blood. Through his blood. Long before, months, years, days, is the preparation. So Queen Vashti, we see this story in, let's just learn a case study from Queen Vashti and Esther. Come with us to the book of Esther. Esther is before the book of Job. And let's see why this queen, who was already a bride, was rejected. Now, one of the things we will see here is, let me run through the commentary quickly. One day, the king who a king known as King Ahasuerus, all right? Okay? He was on his throne, and he decided, yeah, you know what? Third year of his reign, let him make a feast. We see that in Esther chapter 1. So let me read from verse 3. He decided to make a feast. Esther chapter 1 from verse number 3. The Bible says there in verse 3 that in the third year of his reign, he made a feast for all his officials and servants. The powers of Persia, Media, the nobles, the princes of province before him, when he showed the riches of his kingdom and splendor of his excellent majesty. For many days, 180 days in all. Oh, wow. Talk about celebration. When a king wants to celebrate, he celebrates. 180 days he was celebrating. Okay, let's read on. The Bible says in verse 5, when these days were completed, the king now made another feast. Look at this. Lasting 7 days. You know, add that to 180. For all the people who were present in Shushan, the citadel. Okay, let's go on. Now look at what happened. From great to small, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Let's go to the next verse quickly. And the next verse tells us that there were white and blue linen curtains fastened with cords of fine linen, purple and silver rods, marble pillars. The couches were of gold, silver on a mosaic, pavement of alabaster, turquoise, white and black marble. They served drinks in the golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other. Look at the opulence. The Bible now says that, you know, they were serving drinks, right? They served drinks. Please, media people, we've got to speak tonight. Amen. Right? So we are now in verse number 8, right? With royal wine in abundance according to the generosity of the king. Verse 8 of Esther chapter 1. In accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory. For so the king had ordered all the officers of his household that they should do according to each man's pleasure. Come, verse 9, introducing Queen Vashti. Queen Vashti, note this, also made a feast for the women in the royal palace, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, verse 10, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bitsa, Abona, Bicta, Abakta, Zeta, Karkas, seven eunuchs who served in. Right? Let's move in the presence of King Ahasuerus. What did he command them to do? To bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. People, please note that. Let me quickly chip in a scripture. The Bible says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. We see that in the book of Proverbs. Every man will want to display their crown, especially if you're a king. So a woman who is virtuous is like a crown. And crowns are meant to be displayed, worn openly, proudly. So this was meant to be Queen Vashti. Come. Come and see. Let everybody see what my crown. But what happened? The Bible says in verse number 12. But let's go back to, thank you very much, media team, Romans 12, fire, an excellent wife. The King James says, a virtuous woman. All right, verse 13, Esther chapter 1, the Bible says, verse 12, but Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by the eunuchs. Therefore, the king was furious, his anger burned within him. Because of our time, let me just tell us what happened. The king was so angry, he wanted to display his virtuous crown, his beautiful Queen Vashti, but she refused. Now, the king now had to consult the wise men, the people who are closest to him, that what's going on here? What should we do? If you look at verse 15, he was asking, what should we do to Queen Vashti? According to the law, because she did not obey the command of the king. Ahasuerus brought to her by the eunuchs. Anyway, when the wise men met, there was an agreement that because of what she had done, she's going to be a bad influence on all the women in the land for refusing to obey the king's command. And number two, that it's all the women in the land will start despising their husbands. Because, of course, look at the embarrassment for the king. So they now decided that, because of what she's done, let a royal decree go out. Let it be altered so that this queen, Vashti, will no more come before the king and let her position be taken by another. Listen, that is a serious matter. So you know what? The decree of the king went out and they banished her and they started looking for a replacement. I pray in the name of Jesus that God Almighty will not replace you, that you and I, we will be at that marriage supper of the Lamb to be joined together forever and ever with our bride, the bridegroom, the husband of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, on that last day. You shall not be found wanting, I shall not be found wanting. But Queen Vashti was rejected. And I began to ask and seek, why was she rejected? What did she do? Do you know what it takes to even get to the position where she was? But apparently, there are some things, people, that marriage will expose. Marriage, I tell people, will always expose what you have been trying to cover. Marriage exposes your nakedness. If you don't have character, if you don't have virtue, marriage will expose you. It's not the outer. We will see this when we look in depth next week, especially, a brother was sharing with me and he will share more with us on that. It's not the outward, right? It's not what we wear or what we look like that matters. It's what is contained in us, what is inside us, the pride, the arrogance, the lawlessness, the lack of proper home training. Marriage exposes. You know what? It's high time we all pause. Are we ready to be his bride? What were the downfalls of Queen Vashti? You know what? Right from that verse 1, the Spirit of God began to show me. Listen, let's look at the first verse. Let's look at verse 9. The king threw a party, a feast. Verse 9. See what Queen Ahasuerus did. Please bring it up so that we can see quickly as we begin to round up tonight. And thank you. Please keep giving. Keep giving. I understand now. It's now 2,190. Glory be to God. Please keep giving. Right? Queen Vashti also made a feast for the women in the royal palace that belonged to the king. Listen, people, that's an independent spirit. The husband, the king, is throwing a feast for everybody. You chose, you want to have your own feast. When the Spirit of God showed me this, I said, that's it. When you have an independent spirit, it's always the downfall of a marriage. Husband and wife are meant to be joined together in agreement, think as one, act as one. You start doing things independent of your husband, who is meant to be your head, you are digging a hole and your own downfall. Without mincing words, people, let us talk to ourselves, especially those of us who are married, because this attitude, if you see, let me tell us, our marriage is a reflection of our relationship with God. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wife, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. If husband does not love the wife, it shows how much the husband regards the Lord. If wife does not submit to the husband, it's a reflection of also our relationship with God. I remembered when I was getting married, God, Spirit of God spoke to me. I am bringing somebody into your life, your wife, giving you the opportunity to show her the love I've always showed you, to love her, to forgive her, dwell with her with understanding, pray with her, cover her the way I've covered you all the days of your life before you married. I'm giving you that opportunity. Same thing for the bride, for the woman. Your marriage is a reflection of your relationship with God. Go and check out these statements I've just made. Your marriage, how you treat your spouse, is a reflection of your relationship with God. It's not what you see on the pulpit when you stand on the pulpit. It's not how you preach. It's not the revelation you bring. Listen, your marriage, those of us who are married, and I'm praying that God will heal hearts tonight, heal homes, heal marriages in the name of Jesus. If only we will do something Vashti didn't do, to submit to our own husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit. It means be in subjection. It means put yourself under. Listen, I will say this, and let me say this out to those who are not married. Congratulations if you are not yet married. But listen, Mrs. Bride-to-be, Mr. Bridegroom, if you are not ready to submit to another human being, please don't marry. Look at the person you want to marry, Mrs. Bride, and ask yourself, am I ready to put myself in subjection to this man? If the answer is no, please don't marry, because you are already dealing with a marriage that's going to shipwreck. It's a matter of time. The statistics on marriages failing today is alarming, people, but it is not too alarming because Jesus said so. In the latter days, people will even forbid to marry. They will forbid for different reasons. And those who are married, some will not even play by the rules. Listen, she had an independent spirit. Queen Vashti was not in subjection to her husband. She wants to do her own thing as her husband does her own thing. Somebody's asking, so if I marry, I lose my liberty. Listen, if you are not ready to submit to another human being, please, marriage is not for you. I'm saying this by the Spirit of God, as harsh as it may sound, it is not for you. If you want to live and enjoy your life as an independent person, man or woman, don't bring that misery upon yourself and upon somebody else. Listen, I know the Bible says it is good. It is not good for the man to be alone. Listen, for that man that enjoys being alone, wants to be alone, and that woman that wants to be alone has an independent spirit, it is better not to marry. It is better you are left alone. Enough of the nonsense we call marriage today. Enough of people, unprepared people, wanting to get married. Married for status, married just because I'm getting older, married just because, you know, it's the norm. I want to listen. Some people start preparing for married life when they meet somebody they want to marry. Listen, you start preparing long before. If you want to reign as a king, you are taught from when you're a prince. If you want to reign as a queen, you are taught from when you're little, when you're a princess, to be raised, tutored, to become a queen. And you will reign in life in the name of Jesus. She had an independent spirit. That was number one. She was not a virtuous woman. Because a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The husband will always want to display their crown, which is the woman. She refused to be displayed by King Ahasuerus. That's Queen Vashti. And that was another thing that was a very, very much downfall. Having said all this tonight, it's high time we start examining ourselves, people. The Bible says, unless we are reprobates, we should examine ourselves if we are truly in the faith. The righteous acts, Revelation chapter 19, the righteous acts, that's the fine linen, clean and bright, that a bride who has made herself ready, not ready on the way because she just met someone to marry, not ready on is the wedding day, she's when they are making wedding plans. You see, people prepare so much for that wedding day, they don't prepare for the marriage. It is the righteous acts of the saints that is the fine linen that the Bible is talking about. Let us check our character. Who are we? Who are we becoming? Listen, do you know that Esther that replaced Queen Vashti, next week we will look at her preparation. She was not prepared even when she was chosen. After she was chosen, she had someone who looked after her, who mentored her, who taught her, who she learned submission to, called the man Mordecai, her uncle, who even when she became a king, she still listened to her, to the father figure in her life. But we'll see more of this next week. I just want us to take a pause, a seller moment right now. There are some things that have been said tonight. And I pray that this word, there are two things, either leads us to repentance or hardens our hearts further. But I'm praying by the Spirit of God that the word of God sent to you tonight will accomplish what God pleases, not what you please. The word will soften our hearts. The word will bring healing. The word will bring repentance. The word will bring deliverance from that which is destroying some of us, the bride of Christ. The bride must make herself ready. Are you ready? Are you making yourself ready? Are you preparing to be ready? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, help us. Help us and help us. I want to bring my brother up, Apostle Cruz. Are you there? Please just come up if you are behind the scene. Because next week we are going to be looking at those five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. They missed out on that wedding night, the foolish ones. But let's just all pray right now. Before we just do a little sneak peek of some things we were discussing behind the scene. Let's just pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our marriages. Let's pray for our homes. Let's pray for our children that we are raising up and preparing. We're in the latter days, people. There's the spirit of disobedience. The Bible talks about that spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Let us make ourselves ready. Let the word of God be our standard. And Father, we just pray tonight, help us. Help every one of us. Help me, oh God, to examine myself. Help me to examine my relationship. Help me to examine my character. Lord, I know when your light comes, when your word comes, and light reveals the hidden things of darkness. Light reveals that which is covered. I pray in the name of Jesus. I know your love is what covers a multitude of sins. Your multitude of sins. Tonight we'll come to you, not as people who think that they know it all. You say, let him that thinks it stands, take it lest it fall. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for myself. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. I pray for everyone online tonight. I pray, help us. Help us. Help us. What you said is the bride that made herself ready. Help us to be willing. For you are the one who is at work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. I pray our hearts will be open. Our hearts will be receptive to receive help from you, to help us to submit ourselves to you, to your authority, to people you've placed under our authority, to marriages, because the man and the woman submits to the man loves the woman. And also you said, let us be subject one to another. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for healing. I say in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every devouring spirit, over this word that I've been planted. They will not fall on the wayside. The principalities, princes, birds of the air will not pick this word out of your heart. You've sat down to hear this word tonight. We've sat down to hear this word. This word falls on good ground. This word takes root. This word will take root, firm root. We will germinate. We'll bring forth fruit. Holy Spirit, you bring to our remembrance that which we've heard tonight. Even much more beyond what we have shared. Expound. Explain. Lead us. Heal us. Teach us. Guide us. Show us things to come. In the name of Jesus, I pray for that marriage that is about to collapse. By reason of the word of life you heard tonight, your marriage that has already collapsed, because of the name of Jesus, the resurrection and the life, your marriage that is dead, receive life now. In the name of Jesus, receive life. Receive life. I pray for the spirit of reconciliation. I pray for the blood of Jesus, the blood that saves to the uttermost, the precious blood of Jesus that speaks better things than that of Abel. Begin to speak better things. Begin to speak life. Begin to speak healing, resurrection, deliverance, healing. Yes, restoration, restoration. Lambranda heskikopataya in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, comforter, guide, advocate. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I rebuke the devourer trying to devour your life, devour your home, devour your marriage. I rebuke that devourer in the name of Jesus. I stop every activity of Satan in homes, in families. I say in the name of Jesus, even over our children, whatever our Heavenly Father has not planted in them, whatever lack of preparation or whatever evil mindset that has been put in them, thinking that marriage is evil. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are all prepared. Prepare us, prepare our children. Raise them up. Let the word be implanted afresh in their hearts. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you. The Lord, testimonies will abound. Amen. Thank you. Near collapse, near destruction, but that did not happen. Father, we thank you. We say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed be your name.
Amen.
Thank you. Before we just go offset, there was something you said about, you know, those five virgins. Please, people, don't miss next week. Question and answer also. Ten virgins, five wise, five foolish. Something about the vessel. Do you want to just give a sneak peek and then we'll hand over to the media team? And we'll look at those virgins tonight, next week.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, and good evening, everyone. I think the story of the 10 virgins is found in Matthew chapter 25 from verse 1 to 11. And for those who have been joining us in the prayer meetings, we've been looking into this and we've been praying in this area. But today, our brother Daniela was leading us and and after the prayer meeting, it was just the fact that God was, over the course of the month, God has just been revealing some bits to me regarding the bit, regarding that particular part of the Bible. One of the key things I was talking to Pastor about was the fact that the Bible mentioned that the five wise virgins took oil in their vessel, and I realized that if you look externally, if you've never met the virgins and you just looked from afar, all of them look like as if they met the criteria externally. If you look at the externalities, they were all virgins. They looked prepared. They were waiting for a groom. They were doing the things that the motions and whatever it is. They all had a lamp. So they looked all prepared, and those were external things. And the Bible makes us to understand that God does not look at the external. He looks on the inside.
That's right.
And the only people that God declared as wise were those who had something in. And I mentioned that it was their vessel, and it's a matter of if you look at Proverbs 25 verse 4, it says, "Remove the dross from silver, and a vessel will be made available for the silversmith." Which means that if there are impurities, then there's no vessel made available. And I was asking myself, was it that the other five foolish virgins didn't have vessels? Or was it that their vessels were filled with other things which did not allow them to be able to consider getting the oil? The internal bits, what are we doing internally? Are we just going through the motions, coming on to church, doing the normal things that makes us to tick the box as a Christian? And God look on our inside, because we know that God searches the heart. He doesn't look at the outside. And Jesus was talking about the Pharisees when he said that they were like whitewashed tombs, but the inside is very dirty. What is inside? And also, the second thing we were talking about was, Pastor was teaching us earlier in the year about the times and the seasons. And Pastor taught us about the day and the night. And the daytime is the time when you prepare. And that was what Pastor was teaching. The daytime is when you prepare. And what was going on? Why did they not buy the oil
during the day?
During the day. And it was now at the wrong time that they had to go on to buy. And it's just a view into some of the things that Pastor will be sharing, and maybe I'll be able to contribute some bits over the next week.
Yes, by the grace of God, thank you for sharing that. We look really, but you know, significant, it was what was inside their vessel that made the difference. What is inside us? We are meant to be the vessels containing our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But I just wanted us to hear that, to ignite us. Next week, we'll be rounding up this teaching. We'll look more in-depth, and we'll take questions and answers. Our time is fast spent tonight. I don't think we can entertain any questions, but I think we should just all go and pray. And thank you, Damola, for just coming on dropping this very deep nugget. You know, I just felt, no, we must all hear this tonight. So thank you very much. Let's remember again, our righteous acts, that's a fine linen. Let's remember the children and the families, especially this season. And let's raise that money left just to make 200 families, and by extension, even more families, happy. God bless you. Thank you very much for joining us. I hand over to the media team. It's bye for now.